Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Limler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about a belief that grows and how we're able to allow God's Spirit to grow the belief that we have, what it produces, how it benefits not only us, but the kingdom of God. And today we're going to talk about a belief that worships. And how does our belief in God get expressed? How do we express it? How do we respond to what we know about God? Scripture today, our primary verse comes from John 9, verse 38. And it says, "Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him." The context here is a man who had been blind. And Jesus comes along and heals this man. And you think that everybody would be happy. Well, you've probably read the Bible if you're listening to a morning devotion. And you know that when Jesus does things, it's not everybody that's happy. This man gets in trouble with the religious leaders because the religious leaders are convinced that this can't be right, that it must not be the same man, that there's more to the story, that this man named Jesus could not have done this. Now, the interesting part is that this process of healing this man, the man did not get an opportunity to know Jesus, to see Jesus. And so he just knows that this man told him, gave him the instructions to go and wash his eyes, or to wash in this pool of Siloam. And the healing took place there, away from the physical presence of Jesus. So, because he was blind, he had no idea what Jesus looked like. It all began with a discussion that the disciples had, asking Jesus whose fault it was. Was this man blind because of his sin or the sin of his parents? And sometimes we get so caught up in wanting to assign blame that we miss the work of God. Jesus responds, it wasn't the sin of either of them. It was done so that God's glory could be revealed, that could be seen. It would be obvious. And when the religious leaders catch word of this, they question the man's parents because their first assumption is, well, it's a different guy. To have this guy spit on the ground and make mud and tell me to wash it off somehow brings about a healing of the eyes is ridiculous. And so there became this debate among the religious leaders. Somebody that's able to do that has to be somebody that comes from God. And, well, the other religious leaders said, well, no, this man is, he works on the Sabbath. He does these crazy things. He's a sinner. no one that's that kind of person can come from God. And so they call in the man, they call in this man's parents, and the parents aren't willing to say. They don't know how the man was healed. They just know it's their son, and he was blind, and now he's able to see. And it gets to the point where this man's insistence that he was healed by following the instructions of Jesus got him thrown out of the synagogue. Got him thrown out. Of the gathering, of being able to worship God with those who were coming to do that. Jesus finds this man and simply asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, the common phrase that would indicate God's Son, the Messiah, the one who would be sent. And the man's response in verse 36 of John 9 is, well, who is he? And so while there was some element of belief, there was still that question, well, who is he? Tell me who he is so that I can believe. And so Jesus responds that he himself is the one, which results in the response of our primary text today, that the man believed and worshiped him. And it makes me wonder what happens in our life when we believe Jesus. When we believe in Jesus as God's Son, the Messiah, the one sent to save us from our sins. Does it lead to our expressing worship? Or do we become so comfortable with that piece of information that we just go on with life? How much do we desire to know the presence of God? How much value do we place on God's Spirit living within us, on knowing the living God, of accepting His love, His grace, His mercy, His gifts? How much value do we put on that, or do we become, well, entitled children who simply expect all that we have? God's desire is that our belief in Him would lead us to a life that worships Him. That every day, every moment that we live, we recognize the value that God has brought into our life. And our response is one of worship. One of expressing to Him how much, to the best of our ability, how much worth He has to us. Now, in a technical sense, that worth is greater than we could ever accurately express. But we continue offering what we have. We continue offering the words that we have. We continue offering the actions that we have. We continue offering ourselves. You see, there are times where people around us will try to separate us from God. And they do so sometimes by mocking our beliefs, sometimes by questioning our beliefs, sometimes by challenging our beliefs. And we're always left with that question, what will I do with Jesus? What will I do with this encounter that I've had with the living God? Will I allow the things of this world to separate me, to diminish my worship to the point where it eventually no longer happens? Have I put my faith and trust in myself? Have I put my faith and trust in a government? Have I put my faith and trust in other people? Or have I put my faith and trust in God? You see, the more that I lean towards putting my faith and trust in any of those other things, the less I'm drawn to worship. Because all of those other things will fail me at some point, will leave me disappointed, will leave me wanting more. And so I believe God. I believe in God. And I worship Him. Your life today is a life that will express to the people around you, will express to the world, will express to God Himself what it is that you value. Will it be God? We struggle sometimes in this country specifically, but in many places of this world, with a trust, with a value in money, in finances. And there's times where it's very easy for our actions and our words and our thoughts to reveal a worship of stuff more than it reveals a worship of God. It's why Jesus says that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and mammon or money or stuff. Eventually, you'll love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. Somebody will win. They're not similar. They don't coexist. One will rise and the other will fall. And a big part of that has to do with your belief. Does your belief in God lead you to worship Him? Not just with words, though words are important, but with your life, with your thoughts, with your service to others. With your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, it's this kind of belief that results in a worship that'll never end. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to Yourself. It has shown us that You alone are worthy of our highest praise. That all of the stuff around us, all of the things that this world holds up as attractive and beneficial, are but a passing wind compared to the substance of Your glory, of Your goodness, of who You are. And so God, today as we pray, I pray that You would help us to believe not just an intellectual acceptance that there was this God and Jesus and existence that somehow is real, but a heart and mind acceptance that knows that you are with us. A belief that results in worship. A belief that elevates who you are compared to everything else in our life. A belief that lifts up Jesus. That makes Him a priority in our life, that not just as something we add to life, but is someone who's in charge of life. So God, forgive us for those times where we believe in other things more than we believe in You. Where we find ourselves in need and believe that money is the only answer. Where we become weary and believe that sleep is the only solution. Where we become frustrated and believe that some medication is going to be the only thing that can help. Where we become bored and believe that entertainment is the only solution. And Father, all of those things are things that are not good or bad. They're just things until they become the things we worship, and then they become idols. And so in our times of boredom and loneliness and frustration and need, and rather than turning solely to these things of the world, may we turn first to You. And in our weariness, You do call us to rest, but to rest in You. In our frustration, we may need the help of the medical community, but we find that help through a trust that You have gifted and equipped and given wisdom. And Father, You've called us to a life that is full, that enjoys the things of this world in appropriate ways. In ways that are submissive to You. And so God, rather than turning to the things of this world and worshiping them as the solutions to all of our struggles and problems, may we turn to You and believe in a way that leads to worship. And may our offering to You today be ourself. And may our praise rise as incense, as a fragrant aroma, as we believe and as we worship. And may that belief which worships be such that we lift up Jesus every opportunity that we have, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.